Jesus Christ in her life cannot be ever be underestimated, can never be given back. We are so grateful that in Christ we have you and eternity to live together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good morning. So, a little bit of everyone was, or the people that I did meet, I heard a lot of the same thing. Who are you? And I said, well, I'm the rent-a-pastor. So, but I have the privilege of going to our the Wednesday night study, the men's study here. So, I know a few of you. But for those of you who don't know me, my name's Mike Dinkle. I do have a job here in town. I live here in town, but my heart is ministering, reading the word, teaching the word, but also growing in the word with you guys. And today, if you turn to Ephesians, I'll meet you there here in just a little bit. But I want to ask you something. What are some things that we earn? What are some things in this life that we earn? It's okay, you can talk in church. I won't tell Pastor Paul. Money, okay, that's a big one. Yeah, absolutely. What else?
Trust,
yep. Respect, yep, there. Yeah, preach it, brother. All right, anything else? I got a list as long as my arm. We can go this all day. Now, why do you think that we could go that all day? There is so much in this life that we earn. There's so many things that are the most precious things that we hold dear to us, or some things that we just take for granted, but we earn. Because, well, let me give you a little illustration. When I was in college, I had the opportunity to minister to the Gearing Scotts Bluff Detention Center up in Scotts Bluff, Nebraska. And I got to minister to the juvenile side. So, ministering to the adults, that was one thing. But to the kids, seeing a 10-year-old in jail was, for one, eye-opening. But one of the biggest things, you could go in there, you could share the gospel, you could present something so exquisitely well, but if they don't trust you, if they don't know that that you're there and you actually care about them, you might as well be preaching to a wall. There's a lot of things in this life that we earn, and it's no surprise that because of that mentality that's been drilled into us since we were young, it's no surprise that when it comes to God, that we bring that same attitude to the table. It's what do I do? What can I do? And because of that, the enemy can use that so many times so easily that the most important thing, the most important decision, the most important choice that we have to make in this life is skewed into being more like a job versus a choice. So this phrase that we're going to talk about, it stems from the passage that we're at, that we're in. So if you're not already there, turn to Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. And this phrase that we're going to be talking about today is called salvation by grace through faith. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Now, before I go much farther, I don't want to single out believers or unbelievers. Both of us, both sides fall into this. I mean, think about it. We as believers, it's like we know that we're saved by grace. But then, Sometimes we fall into the mindset of I'm sanctified, I'm being made more like Christ by the flesh. I know for me, I've been a Christian almost 10 years, and I went to one of the most elite Bible colleges in the nation, and I still fall into that. And the unbeliever side of it is they haven't received that, they haven't received God yet. So all they know is, well, what do I have to do? What do I have to do? What do I have to do? So it's both sides of it. So salvation by grace through faith, that is the biggest thing that I want us to walk away knowing is it cannot be earned. Salvation cannot be earned. We're going to be talking about that today. Three truths lined up in this passage that we should know that salvation cannot be earned. See, verse 8 talks about God's grace saves us. That's our first truth. The second one is God did all the work for us. That's in verse 9. And verse 10, that God has a plan and purpose for us. See, these three truths, and we're going to get to that a little bit more later, but this is stuff that we throw around in church all the time. I know Paul because Paul and I used to serve in the same organization. He used to serve in Village Mission, so did I. And you want to talk about preaching the word and loving the people. I still love to preach the word and love the people, and it is, this word is truth. These are foundational principles, but sometimes we forget about it. The most core principles we forget about. God's grace saves us, verse 8. God did all the work for us in verse 9, and God has a plan and purpose for us in verse 10. So before we get into it verse by verse, let's just read the passage as a whole. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, let's just start verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Would you just take a moment and pray with me? Lord, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you have given your word to us and that we can understand it. And I pray, Lord, that as we look into this, that you keep me completely out of the way. Help me, Lord, to present your word accurately. And I pray that we all leave here with our hearts challenged and changed today. In Jesus' name, thank you, Jesus. Amen. So let's go back to verse 8. Looking at God's grace saves us, this first part, for by grace, this word grace, I have no doubt. I don't know a lot of you, but I know some of the men that are here that go to the men's Bible study. I know this word gets thrown around a lot. But I would hate for any one of us to be either receiving a conversation or having a conversation about grace without knowing what it is, without really knowing what it is, because sometimes I fall into the trap of when I talk about it, I assume someone knows what I'm talking about. Or someone will talk to me and they assume I know what they're talking about. See, the word grace just simply means unmerited favor. But to put it plainly, put it very simply, is getting what you don't deserve. Is getting what you don't deserve. And this is why it's such a beautiful thing. This is why God's grace is such a beautiful thing, because even though we don't deserve it, God gives it in abundance to us. Because the reason that we kind of needed this is we are all naturally selfish, prideful sinners. And you might be thinking, who's this guy? He don't know me. How could he say that about me? Okay, let's go through the test. You don't have to raise your hand. Please don't. But just think about this. Now, this is in every circumstance, not certain circumstances, every single time. Do you naturally think of yourself first, or do you think of others first? Not making a conscious effort, it's do you naturally think of others first or yourself first? Do you naturally tell people how good you are or how good they are? Naturally, not making the conscious effort to do it, it's instinct. Do you complain about our circumstances, or are we content with our circumstances? Now, I don't know about you, but I put myself through that test a lot whenever I think I'm doing just fine. And if we're honest with ourselves, I'm pretty sure every one of us would bomb that quiz. Because we don't have to be taught how to be selfish. We don't have to be taught how to be prideful. And if you think I'm wrong, I've got a 3-year-old daughter. Come babysit her sometime. I love my daughter to death, but she doesn't need to be taught how to not listen. She doesn't need to be taught how to not do what she's told. She needs to be taught how to do the right thing. Because we are naturally stained with sin. And so going back to the beginning of this verse is, for by what we don't deserve, you are saved. Now, before I go on, there's one thing that was explained to me a long time ago, and it really hit hard, is when you think about this word grace, if you just spell it out, grace, G-R-A-C-E, is God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. Now, the reason that's important is God's riches, that's the first part. See, God's grace, God just lavishes that on us because he loves us so much. But don't forget something. At Christ's expense. That was a hefty bill to pay. That's a hefty bill to pay. And I pray that none of us take advantage of that. But as we go on, that for by grace you have been saved. And saved from what? I heard this in the detention center all the time from those kids. And I tell you what, you want to grow? You want to really be challenged in your faith? Go talk to some inmates. I tell you what, they ask the real questions. They don't ask the deep theological questions that really make no difference in someone's eternity. They ask the questions that all of us are thinking, but no one has the guts to say. Or no one has the guts to ask. And they ask something like this. You ask a believer or an unbeliever, saved from what? What do I need to be saved from? Life is good. It's saved from sin. Not sins. Not sins. Sin. Let me explain why I say that. No one is separated from God by the things that we deem not cool, or what we think is sin and what isn't sin, or even things that are laid out as sin. It's we are stained with sin from the moment we came into this world. That's what's being talked about here, that we are saved by grace through faith. We are saved from that sin. We are cleansed from that sin. That's what's being talked about here. Psalm 5:4 talks about no evil dwells with God. He can't be in the presence of wickedness. It's not that God doesn't want us there with him. It's if we're still stained with sin, he can't be in the presence of it. And if you flip over to the New Testament, where in Romans 3:23, I'm going to fly through these, so if you need these, well, write fast. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I think we can all agree that we fall into the all there. All of us have fallen short. Every single one of us is in need of this grace. And Romans 6:23, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. See, the reason that's one of my favorite verses is because it presents the problem and the solution. See, for the wages of sin is death, and that is not talking about just physical death. That's talking about the eternal separation from God. That's the second death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. It doesn't say, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Mike Dinkle, in good works, in going to church, in giving money, in ... in Christ. In Christ. It's only by God's grace that we can even get to heaven. And like we talked about earlier, we don't deserve it. But God just lavishes that on us, and He wants us in His presence. He wants us in this. And what is our part? Look at the next part. For by grace you've been saved through faith. That's the choice that we were talking, that I was talking about earlier, is the choice. We receive this grace through faith, believing that Jesus is who He said He was, plus nothing. I did nothing to earn this grace. I did nothing to earn this. It's believing in Christ, who He is, who He said He was, and who He is today, is that He was crucified, died, buried for our sins, and on the third day rose again, conquering death. And He is God forevermore. He is God forevermore. Have you ever thought about this? Have you ever thought about what happened that day? On the hill of Calvary, that day when Christ hung on that cross, I know we're in a digital age right now, but do most of you still write checks? Nobody, okay. I still do. So whenever you write a check, it's submitted, and it takes a couple of days to get back to the bank, right? So if you think about it, when Christ was on the cross at Calvary, He wrote a check with His life. And on the third day, when He rose again, He not only proved He was God in the flesh, He proved who He said He was, and that's when the check cleared. The Universal Bank of God. Thank you, Jesus. We as humans had an unpayable debt that none of us could ever pay. But God wrote that check. God took that penalty for us because He loves us. And some may say, well, I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. So what are we talking about this for? I believe in Jesus. Which Jesus? Which Jesus? I say this to a lot of people with the utmost respect for them and the utmost concern for their eternal destination, their eternal security is, which Jesus do you believe in? See, that's what I say, did your Jesus do that for you? Do you believe that He did that for you? Or do we take just a couple of verses, like one or two verses, and base our doctrine and our theology, and we make our own Jesus because that's what suits me? See, the Jesus of the Bible, my Jesus, did this for me. He did this for you because He loves you. He loved us with an agape love, that self-sacrificing love for you. And just a little side note, that's the same love that us husbands need to show to our wives. That self-sacrificing love, being willing to put ourselves aside, give ourselves up for our wives. That's the illustration of what Christ did for His church. He gave Himself up. He put Himself aside for the church. For you. When people ask, what's the gospel? That's the gospel. That is the gospel. Christ died, was buried, rose again, proving He was God. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us, laid down his life because he wanted that relationship so much with you that he spared no expense. No expense to restore that relationship with you, not even his own son. And anyone that preaches a gospel apart from what is being taught here is like what Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, that he is to be accursed. He is to be accursed. And you remember when I mentioned that I went to a Bible college. It was a pretty elite Bible college. At least an elite Bible college for training pastors and missionaries. I remember being in class, and I still remember it. We were talking about, you know, just this, all the different theologies and so on. We were really diving deep into this stuff, and we were talking about things that no one ever talked about. And then I asked something like this: why Jesus? Why not me? Why not someone else? Why was it Jesus? And I remember seeing my professor's face. He was in the zone, and then he's just like, and then just looks at me and just smiles. Because when we get into the deep theological things, that's not bad. Don't hear me wrong. That's not bad. But I don't want us to forget the basics. He didn't want me to forget the basics. So he detoured that entire class. And we talked about this, as why it was Jesus, not anyone else. The reason why is we still had our own sin problem to deal with. We had our own sin problem to deal with. See, Jesus was born of the Spirit, not man. He kind of dodged that bullet. Praise Jesus for that. That's why Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. That's why he was able to do what he said he did and what he said he's going to do. Because he is the only begotten of the Father. And as we go on, says, in that, not of yourselves. Not of yourselves. Paul is making a very outrageous statement right here. See, when Paul knew who he was writing to, see, this was a major metropolis. The Ephesian, the town, now start. The culture in Ephesus, it wasn't just this little, you know, podunk town of, you know, 400 or 500 people. This was a booming metropolis of over like 250,000 people. This was about the size of Lincoln. All right, that's who Paul's writing to. That's the culture he's writing to. And their primary worship there was this idol named Artemis, that it was all about what you did for the idol. Nothing about what the idol did for you. And to even take that a little bit farther, merchants even made money off of this idol worship. They made little mini Artemises for people to take home. Carry it in your pocket. Remember who you worship. You know, it's, he knew who he was writing to. He knew his audience was very much, what do I do? What can I do to continue to earn favor? And that's, Paul is just like, wait, stop. Stop. The work has already been done. Just stop here. And does that sound familiar? Does that sound familiar? That's still happening today. Paul knew he was making this definitive statement that it's not of yourself. You can't do this. Stop trying. It's the gift of God, as we go on. That it is the gift of God. Anybody in here like Christmas? Okay, half of you. Okay, so for the other half that don't like Christmas, I love Christmas. But even more so, I love my birthday. You know why? Christmas is giving gifts to everybody. My birthday is about me. They give the gifts to me. Did I have to do anything for that gift? When someone walks up and says, "Happy birthday, here you go," that'll be $5.95. No, unless that's a terrible friend, but it just, that's not how a gift works. See, if we think about it, it's when we get a gift, but then we pay for it, what does it become? Tell me. It's okay, I'll tell you. It becomes a wage, right? If you receive something, but then you pay for it, it ceases to be a gift and becomes a wage. It becomes something you earned. And it ceases to be a gift. The gift that Paul is talking about here is a gift that's given to all who call on the name of the Lord Jesus. And think about it like this. It's given to everyone, but what good is a gift if it just sits under the tree? If someone can give me a gift, I set it right there on my counter. What good is that gift if I don't open it? God has given a gift to every single person on this planet. What good is a gift if it's not opened? See, that's what Paul's talking about here. This gift that's being talked about here, he's trying very hard to make it clear that when you try to earn a gift, it ceases to be a gift. Salvation is by grace through faith plus nothing. God's grace saves us. Nothing else can or will. But we still, in this mindset, we still have that mindset of, I got to contribute somehow. I got to do something. But if we look at verse 9, we see that God did all the work for us. Look at verse 9 with me. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Paul already stated back in verse 5, this same phrase, but he's trying to make it even more clear that you cannot earn this, so quit trying to be like one of the Pharisees, one of the Sadducees, one of the religious cult leaders that are trying to go around and make themselves look good. Paul is making this, doing everything he can in this very short phrase. If you are a Christian, quit trying to earn God's grace. Quit trying to earn God's grace. I love how the ASV translates this last part here. It says in the ASV, so that no one should glory. In that time, a lot of the religious leaders, a lot of the cult leaders love to broadcast themselves. They love to dress themselves up, and this is how my mind thinks, so just track with me, is look at me. Just kind of sway as they walk through the streets. Look at me. Look at everything that I do. That's what's going on during this time. They want to make sure people see what they do. And is it still happening today? You turn on the TV, you turn on the radio, do this, God will bless you. Do this, God will bless you. Give this, God will bless you. Give that, God will bless you. I did not realize that a blessing had anything to do with me. God gives those blessings to his children, not because of how good they are, but because he loves us. Isaiah says that our works are as filthy rags to God. And if we try and measure filthy rags up to perfection, it's not going to add up. Salvation is by grace through faith. Plus nothing. So we've talked thus far about 2 points. God's grace saves us. There's nothing we can do to earn it. God did all the work for us, so there's no reason to continue doing work when the work is already done. So at this point, where does that leave us? Now what do we need to be doing now? I get it. God's grace saves me. I get that part. God did all the work for me, so I'll quit striving for it. Now what do I do? Well, let's look at verse 10. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. There are a lot of misleading beliefs right now. A lot back then and a lot right now. That you and I are just an accident. That over a billion years, that we just evolved into something, and a whole bunch of things, that just a random series of chance events, billions of years. If you are here today and you believe something like that, then I want to just encourage you right now. I just want you to stop and reconsider just for a minute. If that's what it is, then this whole life is meaningless. There's no reason for us to be here. There's no reason for us to do anything. Life is just meaningless. No purpose. No nothing. We just kind of roll on the stage of life, and then after we're gone, we're done. Where's the hope? Where's the purpose? Scripture has proven itself over and over again. And it proves over and over again that, and hear me on this, you are not an accident. You were created with a purpose. And that may look different for every single one of us, but you are created with a purpose. And I don't want anyone to think that God makes junk. God loves you. And he created you. God does not make junk. Created in Christ Jesus, as we go on, created in Christ Jesus for good works which he prepared beforehand. Salvation is not where it ends, folks. It's where it begins. This word created is referring to a new creation. It's not referring to the, you know, when we were actually created. It is the new creation. We are made new in Christ. And once we catch that, once we realize that we are not who we used to be, that's when God starts to use us. That's when God can start to grow us. If you're a Christian here today, good works should always follow as evidence of what's already happened in your heart. Not works never produce faith. Hear me on that. Works never produce faith. They prove faith. It's like, okay, you say this, but where's the evidence? That's what's being talked about here. God has a plan and purpose for our lives, and I don't know what that may look like for you. I know for me, I work in sales. But that doesn't mean that that's not no less a mission field. I run into people all the time. There are people all around us that we don't know their eternal destination. So how about we offer something to them? Offer the life preserver. Why would we want, when we realize that God did all the work for us, and God's grace saves us, and now we have a plan, he has a plan and purpose for us, why would we want to keep such great news to ourselves? And that doesn't always mean going up to every single person and say, do you know Jesus? You need to. Do you know Jesus? You need to. One of the biggest things that I found in the detention center is, yeah, I could share verses with them, but the one thing that they read was my life. See, unbelievers are watching us. And we might be the only Bible they ever read. So what are they reading? So then as we wrap up here, the last part of our verse, in verse 10, so that we would walk in them. So that we would walk. So another way to translate this is so that we yield to Him. Letting Him do it through us. Because when we read something like this, and I know I've fallen into this trap as well, is, okay, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to do this, I got to do that. Now I'm just trying to earn what's already been done for me all over again. It's every single day yielding to God, letting Him work in and through you on a daily basis. Whether that be going to work every single day, staying home with the kids, going, whatever the case may be, is letting God work through you every single step of the way. That is our purpose, is to bring Him glory. People to see Jesus through us. That's His plan and purpose for every single one of us in here, is to bring Him glory. It's all about Him. And praise be to God that He uses us as His vessels. So where are we at as we bring this to a close? So where does that leave us? Do we believe what we just talked about? Do we believe what we just talked about? If so, what are we doing with this gift? You can say, yes, I've opened the gift. I know Christ. I know it's by salvation. It's that salvation is by grace through faith. I know that. I know that to be true. Who have you told lately? It doesn't mean that when you tell someone and they don't come to know Jesus, or they, if they disagree with it, that doesn't matter. We're messengers. Just let them know, hey, let me tell you what God's doing in my life and what God wants to do in your life. It doesn't have to be something super exquisite, or you have to go to 5 years of Bible college to do. It's, did you know that God's grace saves us? Did you know that God did all the work for us and that God has a purpose for your life? You don't? Let me tell you about it. And if they say no, okay, I'll be praying for you. Don't be afraid of rejection. The enemy loves using that tool. The enemy loves using that tool. If you're here and you don't, then the one thing that I want to challenge you with as we close is, what's holding you back? What is the one thing, two things, three things, five things, 10 things that are holding you back from accepting the free gift of God? I got to tell you, and I don't have time to tell you right now, but when I came to Christ, there was a lot of things that I was risking. But I tell you what, for the things that I lost, God sure filled it up with new things that are way better. God loves you. And just because you come to know Jesus doesn't mean that you got to go to a podunk village in Africa. I'm serious, that's what I thought. If I come to know Jesus, He's going to send me to Africa. There are lost people here too. People need to know Jesus here too. Today, I want you to know that it is salvation by grace through faith. And when we realize that, I know when I finally realized that, the amount of relief, the amount of joy, the amount of peace. Thank you, Jesus. Do you have that? Do you have that peace? Do you have that joy? Do you have that relief? If not, make that decision today. Come talk to me. If I have to call into work, I don't care. Come talk to me. If you're not comfortable with me, I know Paul has his number somewhere. Come talk to us. I know Paul is just as concerned about all of our eternal security, but anyone else that he comes in contact, and so am I. So if you're wondering, if you're sitting here, you're wondering, come talk to us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this. We thank you, Lord, for doing all the work for us. We thank you for your grace. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that if there's anyone here that does not know you, that they will come to know you in a way that everyone will just see. And Lord, if we are here, we do know you, I pray, Lord, that we not keep it to ourselves. Help us, Lord, to be a light, to be a light for your Son, and that people see you through us. I pray, Lord, that when this community around us sees us, they see Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand as we close this morning. close with this. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt, raised this life. Sing that out. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised his life from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised his life from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised his life. Have a great Sunday. We'll see you next time.